Good morning, Steve Dale's Pet World on WGN. What are the states with the most dog bite-related injury claims in 2021? I will tell you, and I will also tell you the story about a dog, a very talented dog, that texted and concerned people. I'll explain. Cynthia Bathurst is an old friend. Boy, Cynthia, you and I have been together in Chicago doing all sorts of things on all sorts of initiatives for companion animals for a very long time. But some number of years ago, you came to me and you said, I've got this idea. And the idea turned out to be what is called Safe Humane Chicago, a model for cities all over the country. And Safe Humane is going great. You've saved so many animals. You've educated so many kids in our schools, a humane education. And that's important, too. So first off, congratulations on all the good work you continue to do and your organization continues to do.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Now, for those who don't know, let's start here. What is Safe Humane Chicago?
Well, I think that the best thing is to start with our mission, of course. And our mission is to create safer and more humane communities by inspiring positive relationships between people and animals. But you might want to wonder, what does that mean? Where do we focus? What we do is we help people and animals who've been affected by trauma. We use the positive, transformative power of the human-animal bond, which you talk about a lot, Steve. And they heal and help each other and go back and help their communities.
And you take dogs. So it all began, as I recall, in part with the so-called court case dogs. Can you explain that? Yeah, can you explain that?
Yeah, actually, court case dogs is a one-of-its-kind effort. Actually, it was quite a pioneering concept, and if you think back to what led up to that, you were part of that, Steve Dale.
Yeah.
The pioneering effort that got us to the place that what we could do is take those dogs who had been rescued by law enforcement and their owners or current guardians had been arrested for serious neglect, cruel treatment, some pretty dog fighting, other kinds of things. Those dogs in Chicago were taken to Chicago Animal Care and Control, where because people didn't think about it much and treated them like anything that would go into a pound, like an auto pound from impounds. They would impound the animals, stick them in cages, leave them there during the case's pendency, sometimes took 3 years. And basically, right before we started the program, 2% of all animals that went in under those circumstances, and there was at least 150, 200 a year, made it out alive. So we thought that was not right. They had done the time, but no crime. And we set up a situation where we could improve the quality of life while they were there and put together a program so that we partnered with rescue groups and others and got those dogs into foster homes and eventually homes by supporting them, celebrating them, and then Safe Humane would give them 3 lifetime behavioral consultation or training on request or as needed. And amazing, we went from a 2% save rate of those sorts of dogs to, after as the years went by, and it really wasn't all that many, maybe 7 or so, we were up to 95%. And about 95 or 96%, we placed over 1,400 animals. Actually, our partners placed 1,400 animals, and we support them and celebrate them and write stories. And it is as it should be, being the dogs that they can be. They were not damaged to goods. And we're really, really proud of that. And, in fact, so proud that it's a huge success, because court case dogs are now treated like any other dog at Animal Care and Control, and then there's a whole support network with the CACC volunteers, but also the Safe Humane volunteers and programs, which I could talk about endlessly, even now, and we've expanded. So the court case dog is pretty special, and we're singing its messages and preparing webinars to tell other other municipalities, counties, states, how they too can treat these dogs with the respect they deserve.
You know, Chicago deserves a lot of credit. I mean, you are the
indeed.
One who... Yeah, but there are people... So it's not the city per se, it's the people who made this happen, and you're the leader of the people that made this happen, Cynthia. Is your hope, you mentioned this, that other cities follow in Chicago's footsteps? In a way, I would argue, you know, for all the grumbling about Chicago, and some of it, yeah, I get it, I understand it. I'm talking about in the animal welfare area, not the city as a whole. We're actually leaders in many places, and this is one of them.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you, Steve, I am so proud and honored to be called the leader of it, and I love organizing it and making it happen. There's nothing that's more exciting than that. But, you know, not only were we pioneering, but we had to be persistent, but we were positive. And we approached it with humility. We didn't have all the answers, but we knew where to find them, and we did, and we put them in front of everybody. And police, court systems, rescue groups, family and community groups, and others came together, veterinarians and others came together to say, yeah, this is right. We're going to make this happen. And we did. I'm very proud.
Yeah, yeah.
And Chicago should be proud, and it should be a Chicago pride. Chicago proud, I believe, as you would say.
Yes, I did. At one point in time, we had that hashtag. How do you remember that? That's very good. So tell me what else Safe Humane Chicago does today.
Well, because of the court case dog program being so well taken in, and because during the pandemic, Chicago Police Department redirected their efforts to violent crimes in the neighborhoods that involved mainly people, there weren't as many arrests, but we already were seeing that people were calling in. So what we did and what we were able to do was pivot and transition our programs into a new program that we call Safe Humane PALS, P-A-L-S, P-A-L. And a PAL is either a program dog, I'll tell you about that in a minute, an ambassador dog, you know about some of those that go out, or a lifetime bonds dog, and I'll talk about that program that we're doing. But those are PALs at Chicago Animal Care and Control, and so they're the dogs that we assess and put into our programs that work with young people, like the Youth Safety and Violence Prevention Program of the YMCA, like the Illinois Youth Centers, like in Lasse, Chicago, and others. They work with the youth there. We assess them. They're kind of called, very prosaically, program dogs, which we didn't like. And so we said, you know what? They become ambassadors. They go into our lifetime bonds programs. They're PALs. So we have the Chicago PALs program, and we advocate for them. We provide sponsorships where needed. And really the main difference is, from the court case dogs, if the dog comes in from law enforcement, we still include those dogs, obviously. Mm-hmm. But the main difference is it doesn't have the formal behavioral support for the rest of the dog's lives out in the community. But there's so much more that rescues and veterinarians are doing now that it's not needed as much as it was. At one time.
When we come back, I want to talk about the pandemic. You know, they say the pandemic within the pandemic is domestic violence. And what we know is that very often the dog in the family is the victim before children are or others are or along with others. Well, I want to know whether you think that is happening in Chicago, and you've seen that with dogs, and much more about what Safe Humane Chicago does with Cynthia Bathurst on WGN. We're talking to Cynthia Bathurst, Safe Humane Chicago, a nonprofit organization that has made life more humane in Chicago. And, you know, let's be honest about it. While you are talking about and truly have impacted the entire city, it's targeted neighborhoods, really, I believe, and it's neighborhoods that don't get humane education, neighborhoods that typically may not be interested in saving dogs. And that's all changing, and you're a big part of why that's happened.
Well, thank you for saying that. And everyone who has volunteered, who has donated even a nickel, and who has taken on, adopted, or fostered these dogs and helped their community members have helped. And what we do is go into neighborhoods that don't have the resources necessary for good care of dogs and their families. And this is all about family. So we try to provide those resources, access to resources, and at reasonable cost or subsidized cost, so that families, which include their animals, their companion animals, their pets, can live more safely and certainly more humanely.
I know that you continue to work paw in paw with the Chicago Police Department, and you're aware of what's going on in regards to what's going on in the city of Chicago. And during the pandemic, nationally, it's been said that it's been called the pandemic within the pandemic, that domestic violence has been on the rise. So while you're not a spokesperson for the Chicago Police Department, you see domestic violence if you're seeing more dog victims, because what we know is that the perpetrators either practice, quote unquote, on an animal first, or along with the children or maybe others in the household that are being violated, the dog will be too. Have you seen a rise in that in our city or not particularly?
I think so. I believe so. And the reason I say that is because we have a group of court advocates, thankless job, an important job, who've gone to court cases, continued even virtually during the pandemic. And we saw many in domestic violence court or those that arose out of domestic violence. So it seems to me that a majority of the cases that we followed and that we saw were indeed domestic violence of some sort, anger management issue, trauma kinds of problems, going after the animals in order to gain power, control over the people.
Yeah, that's what happens. And we've been talking to Red Rover, who, along with Purina around the country, has been trying to promote this idea that shelters, domestic violence shelters, not animal shelters, domestic violence shelters have places for the entire family, which would include the companion animals, which may include a cat or a dog, or others, even a bunny rabbit, whatever they happen to have. In Chicago, what I learned, I went to a meeting, it was about 2 years ago now, with one alderman that we have, who is actually a clinical social worker. You probably know who I'm talking about. And we went to the director of housing or whatever the proper title is, and someone else was in there. All the right people were in the room, but they essentially said, there's nothing we can do about it. I don't think there is a single space for a pet in Chicago. At least that was the case, and I think it still is the case. I forget the city, but it was a small city in Iowa. They actually had like 28 rooms. You know, this is a little city in Iowa, you know, and we can't in Chicago. New York City has set the standard. There's no question about that. So do you hope that we see a change in this area?
Absolutely. And in fact, one of the things that Safe Humane has been able to do with all these successes from before is to focus more on what's in the community. And we need to provide either next door adjoining areas where animals can stay, or try to help push for people shelters that are really family shelters and include the animals. I think it's essential. It's embarrassing for a city of Chicago's size and with the kind of leadership we've shown in so many ways that we're not a leader in that as well. And I hope we can help to do something about that.
Yeah, the initiative, I think, is called the Purple Leash Project, actually.
Yes.
Yeah, you're familiar with it, apparently. So
yes.
Safe Humane Chicago has done all these things with all these tentacles. If you could snap your fingers and say, I want one more thing, I don't know, might that even be more volunteers? I don't know.
I definitely want more volunteers who understand that the impact they can have on the dogs and on the youth and young people who need jobs and opportunities and healing is huge. So, and we need more volunteers. And we need some places in communities. So if you really wanted to know what my dream is that we would have a community center where people could come for their people things, their animal things. They can learn, they can share, and build neighborhoods that are safer and more humane together.
Excellent. Well put. Now, if someone wanted to volunteer, what might those opportunities look like, and how do they reach out?
They should reach out they can email getconnected, all one word, at safehumane.org, or just go to the website, which is actually safehumanechicago.org. And opportunities, we are about to have a volunteer orientation on April 2nd, so we can tell you about that. And they can work in programs with youth. They can work in manners classes and in skills classes and help the dogs we work with get their BAs or even PhDs in canine life and social skills. And they can help us get into the community and do events with corporations or with churches and schools in the community so that we can educate even more people and find out what they need and how we can help get them access to care.
Excellent. Well, you earned the American Veterinary Medical Association Humane Award several years ago for your work. Other awards as well. It must be so rewarding to you, Cynthia, for what you've seen. I mean, I know you have alumni coming back to you all the time saying, look, I'm still with my dog, and it's because of you that this dog's life was saved. More important to me is my hope is that other communities follow, because that means even more dogs will be saved. Cynthia Bathurst, thank you very much for all you are doing and continue to do for Chicago and our animals. But our dogs are members of the family, so you help families too, as you're well aware. Thank you so much. It's always good to talk to you. SafeHumaneChicago.org.
Thank you so much for all your advocacy and support, Steve. Thank you.
I was so proud to be a part of the American Veterinary Medical Association National Dog Bite Prevention Facebook Live event that happened on April 11th. And what came out of that is that a couple of things. One is we have more dogs in America than we've ever had. You know, every year in recent years, there's been an uptick by a couple of percent with every year. But during the pandemic, it seems everyone who didn't have a dog went out and got a dog, which is wonderful. So there are a record number of dogs in America. Yet the number of claims only went up just a little bit. And the number of injury claims, the amount spent, actually went down about a percentage point. And given the fact that there's inflation, and given the fact that we're as litigious as we are in America, the fact that that number went down, to me, is somewhat significant and good news. Now, the 10 states for dog-related injury claims with the most claims, I'll start at number 6, Illinois. That's why I started at number 6. Number 5, Michigan. Number 4, New York. Number 3, Texas. Followed by number 2, Florida. And winning or losing the award for the most dog-related injury claims in 2021, California. I want to talk about this, disaster response for pets in Ukraine. The need for assistance in Ukraine cannot be understated for people, their pets, and shelter animals. We've all seen the images of people leaving for the border, carrying their most treasured belongings, always their pet. It's really been touching. I mean, pets are members of the family. I mean, we know that. But we've seen that by seeing the images and the video in Ukraine. And it's appropriate, but it's touching, nevertheless. And the charitable arm of the American Veterinary Medical Association, called the American Veterinary Medical Foundation, with the AVMA, has made a direct donation of $100,000. And Merck Animal Health has matched that to assist pets in need in Ukraine, providing food and medical care. You can learn more, and you may be able to help, at avmf.org for more information. Rosie likes her devices. Rosie happens to be a dog. Rosie belonged to a Twitter user named Rye. So Rye is just lying there asleep, but he didn't know that Rosie was texting his fiancée. And after texting a bunch of gibberish, The next text, my brain hurts. Fiancé replies, are you okay? The reply back, no. She actually thought he had a stroke or something. Well, the turns out all's well that ends well. She was finally able to reach Rye, and much to her surprise, Rye is a dog who's very talented and can text. We'll talk to you next week, bright and early, right here on WGN.